Well, this is my third time getting to preach for you guys, and as you can see, I'm still getting used to it. So I thought it best to start with prayer. So will you bow your heads with me? God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that we get to gather here together. We get to celebrate you. We get to build one another up in encouragement and love. And we just pray that you would come and meet with us here, that your spirit would be among us and in us. God, that these would not be my words that I speak today, but that it would be your words speaking through me into our hearts. Would you help me to get out of the way, that you might come and help us to know you, to see you, and to love you all the more. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, last year, I had the privilege of leading our church's high school mission trip to Jamaica. And one of my favorite memories from that trip was when we visited an infirmary. There's a picture of our team up there that went together. And at this infirmary, they gave us an hour to explore the place and talk to the people there. And as I walked around, I noticed an old Jamaican man lying on his bed. And so I sat next to him, introduced myself, and instantly recognized that he was blind. And I also noticed that he looked a little thin, as if he was malnourished. And since we had such a short amount of time there together, I only got to learn a little bit about his story, but I wanted to share that with you today. For most of his life, he worked as a slave in some cornfields. He never married and never had kids. In his old age, he had become blind, and all of his relatives had passed away. With no money and no one to support him, this infirmary was the only place he could go to receive care. And I would have felt heartbroken and despair for him, except that while he was sharing all these details with me, he was smiling and laughing. I started to think that maybe he had gone crazy while at this infirmary. And after he indulged a few of my questions, he asked for a favor from me. Before I left, he wanted me to read him his favorite chapter from the Bible, one of the Psalms. So I pulled out the Bible app on my phone, and I began to read to him. And as I read, I was surprised because he started reciting this chapter with me from memory. And this time, his smile was even greater than before. And shortly after that, since we only got a short amount of time there, our group had to leave, but I was so moved and so challenged by this elderly Jamaican man. He had every right to be angry, bitter, and cynical toward the world, and especially toward God. Yet there he was, thankful for his life, and filled with love for God. He was in need of money, food, clothing, assistance, and love. Yet he didn't ask me for any of those things. Instead, he asked me to read his favorite chapter from the Bible because he truly believed that he needed God's word in his life more than anything else. I could see clearly that this man loved God with all of his heart, and I was able to recognize that within the first 15 minutes of meeting him. So the question I want to ask today is, do we live like this? Do we live as if our Bibles are our most precious possession we have? Does God's word impact us and make a difference in our lives? Let me phrase that question a little differently. Would we notice a difference in our own lives if we completely stopped reading the word of God? If I came and removed God's word out of your life, would anything change for you? I personally believe that your answer to this question reveals how you view or see the Bible and what you do with it. If you have a high view of Scripture, then it's going to be at the center of your life. But if you have a low view of Scripture, then it's going to be non-existent in your life. And the point I want to make today is this. It's on the screen. God's word invites us into and connects us into a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so the more you treasure and abide in God's word, the closer you will be to God. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, you need to start with your Bible. And who had a closer relationship to God than his son, Jesus? If anyone didn't need to read or memorize Scripture, it was Jesus. He was one with his Father, being the very imprint of God's nature and radiance of his glory. Yet Jesus still memorized the Bible. Throughout his earthly ministry, he was constantly quoting or teaching on Old Testament scriptures. And he wasn't just making new stuff up on his own. He was teaching these scriptures. And so he would often say, "It is written," And then after that, tell a story or do a miracle to illustrate a passage of Scripture, and then how he was fulfilling it. And so today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, an example of this, in which it's the story about the devil testing Jesus. So I thought this was a good picture. Verse 3 tells us that after 40 days of fasting from food, while Jesus was at his weakest, the devil came and questioned his identity. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And then Jesus answered him by quoting Deuteronomy, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And we see here when the devil came to test and tempt Jesus after these 40 days, Jesus was ready. What do you think Jesus was doing during these 40 days? He was praying and meditating on God's word. He used Scripture to connect to and abide in his heavenly Father, reminding himself of his Father's love and faithfulness toward him. And Jesus not only quoted this passage from Deuteronomy, he fulfilled it as well. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll find that Moses told the Israelites that God tested their faithfulness by making them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And when the Israelites got hungry, God fed them with manna from heaven to teach them, and I quote, "that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." You see, the Israelites failed their test, and a generation of them was kept from seeing the promised land because of it. And here in Matthew 4, we see that Jesus fulfills Israel's role by being obedient to God for 40 days in the wilderness. And Jesus gives us proof. He says God's word can meet our needs, and he proves it by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. During that time, he used God's word to find strength, hope, and courage in the midst of starvation. He passed God's test in the wilderness by living on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so the question all of us need to ask ourselves today is this: what does it mean for us to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God? We all already know what it's like to live on food. That's how wild animals live, on pure instincts of surviving. Similar to animals, we can exist as humans on food alone and just survive. But if we live that way, then we'll never truly live as fully flourishing, healthy humans. And God designed humanity as complex beings that need more than simply to survive on bread alone. We need purpose, we need meaning, and we need a community of loving relationships. That's what Jesus is saying here. We can't live on bread alone, or our souls will wither and die. To truly live, we need a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus shows us that he experienced God's love by treasuring and abiding in God's word. And if this is what Jesus did, then we need to follow his example. And to give you another example, I think David is one of the best examples, apart from Christ, of what it means to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So our other passage of scripture for today is Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. And this is a prayer entry from David's journal. So I'm going to read it to you, and I have key phrases highlighted, and I'll speak about the difference in a second. But it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." So I highlighted in red, David is talking about the Bible. And not our Bible, David's talking about his Bible, and he usually refers it as the law of the Lord, the statutes, precepts, command, decrees. But you have to remember, David, a human like you and me, is not talking about the Bible as we have it today. He only had access to the early books and stories of the Old Testament, Genesis through Ruth. The rest of the Bible hadn't happened or been written yet. And he lived before Jesus, before any of the New Testament was ever written. Have you guys ever started a reading plan and couldn't make it past Leviticus? I know I have. You either get lost in the wilderness with the Israelites, or you can't keep up with the laws that God gives them. And David here in this passage is saying that these Old Testament books are perfect and refreshing for his soul. They bring joy to his heart. They are more precious to him than gold and sweeter than honey. And David read, memorized, meditated on, trusted in, and obeyed God's word. And so in yellow is his description of the value of God's word, saying it's perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, and firm. And green is highlighted to show you what it brings to him, refreshing for the soul, making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart. This is the way he sees his Bible and the way he treasures it. And he loved Scripture so much that he, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was given the privilege of writing 72 different psalms. And if you read through these psalms, just like this one, you'll find a man who had a very intimate and personal relationship with God. And at the core of his relationship, you'll see that his Bible was his most precious possession. David used Scripture to connect to and abide in his heavenly Father in all of his circumstances. When he was a lowly shepherd, the youngest in his family, he memorized and meditated on God's word. When David had become the greatest king Israel had ever seen, he turned to Scripture for guidance and direction. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed in battle, he repented of his sins and turned to Scripture for comfort. David didn't just survive, he lived an abundant, thriving life because he learned to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the good news today is we have it even better than David. We aren't waiting for our Messiah to come. He's already here. We have access to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word through whom God created all things in the beginning. Jesus is the true bread of life, come down from heaven to feed the world. He offered his body on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And God raised him from the dead to become the light and life of all mankind. And now Jesus invites us to become children of God through faith. We have unhindered access to a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. And this should motivate us more than anyone else before us to treasure God's word. Yet still, we struggle. We struggle to enjoy reading our Bibles. Why is that? What keeps us from reading the Word of God? Why don't we treasure our Bibles like Jesus, like David, or like the elderly man in Jamaica? In this day and age, I think we've become so busy that it's often difficult to fit the Bible into our daily schedules. When I was a youth director at my last church, one of my adult volunteers in his late 40s inspired me. As we were talking about Scripture, he shared that he had read his Bible over 20 times in his lifetime. And I was shocked and amazed by this. I'd never known anyone to read their Bibles that many times. And here's his secret. He said, 20 minutes. That's all it takes, 20 minutes. If you can devote 20 minutes a day to reading four chapters in your Bible, you can finish the whole thing in a year. He had been reading his Bible every year for the past 20 years. So I want to ask you today, is your schedule too busy for God's word? Can you find 20 minutes in your day to devote to reading four chapters in your Bible? Maybe for you that means waking up a little earlier or staying up a little later to read. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, I want to challenge you today to find 20 minutes in your day to read your Bible. Another issue I've found to why people don't read Scripture is because they have trouble understanding it. When they read through it, they have a lot of different questions. Around the time my dad turned 50, he was inspired by his dad to read the Bible. At that time, my grandfather had read through his Bible four times. Since my dad had never read through the Bible, the whole thing, he had made a goal right then and there to beat him. So he set out to read 20 minutes a day so he could finish in a year, just like the plan that I just said. Well, unfortunately, as he started reading through it, it became more of a checklist. Once he got to Leviticus and Numbers, he started to get lost. His enjoyment diminished because he had trouble keeping up with this plan, and he had trouble following what was happening. So he decided to start over and try a new plan that he created, one chapter a day. He was going to read one chapter a day every day until he finished the whole Bible. 3 years later, he completed the Bible. Although this pace was a lot slower, my dad had a much better understanding of Scripture and got more out of his reading. And now he's completed the Bible 3 times. So do you have a hard time understanding the Bible? Can you find 5 minutes in your day to devote to reading 1 chapter in your Bible? Maybe you can read a chapter a day with your family. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, I want to challenge you to find 5 minutes in your day to read your Bible. And one final issue that I've seen is that many people find the Bible to be boring. As they read it, they tend to fall asleep or get bored with it. And so I want to challenge you with a new idea of reading Scripture, if you haven't heard of this. For me personally, I'm about to start on a new Bible reading plan in which I will read 10 chapters a day for 30 minutes. I'm supposed to read 1 chapter from 10 different sections of the Bible every day. So imagine reading 10 different books at the same time and 1 chapter from each of those books every day. Sounds quite challenging, but in this way, I'll never be bored. There are many other benefits to this plan that I'm trying to partake on, but I won't get into that now. And for you, if you find the Bible boring to read and want something a little easier than reading 10 chapters a day, here's what I would suggest to you. Try reading 2 chapters a day, but pair the Old Testament with the New Testament. If you do this and read 1 chapter from the Old and 1 chapter in the New, in 1 year you'll have read through the entire Bible, Old Testament once and New Testament twice. So do you find the Bible to be boring? Can you find 10 minutes in your day to devote to reading 2 chapters in your Bible? Maybe for you that means reading it during your lunch break. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, I want to challenge you to find 10 minutes a day to read your Bible. And the good news is, in this day and age, we have many different plans and resources to help us read our Bibles. One resource I love and highly recommend is called The Bible Project. They create animated videos that summarize each book of the Bible and give you an easy guide to understand them as you read them. Their tagline is, "The Bible is one unified story that leads to Jesus." And to give you a small glimpse, I wanted to show you a little bit of their video today. So if you'll watch with me.
The Gospel according to Matthew. It's one of the earliest official accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The book itself is anonymous, but the earliest reliable tradition links it to Matthew the tax collector, who was one of the 12 apostles that Jesus appointed, and he actually appears within the book itself. For about 30 to 40 years, the apostles orally taught and passed on their eyewitness accounts about Jesus, along with his teachings that they had all memorized. And Matthew has then collected and arranged all of these into this amazing tapestry and designed the book to highlight certain themes about Jesus. In this video, we're just going to cover the first half of the book. Specifically, Matthew wants to show how Jesus is the continuation and fulfillment of the whole biblical story about God and Israel. That Jesus is the Messiah from the line of David, that he is a new authoritative teacher like Moses, and not only that, Jesus is God with us, or in Hebrew, Emmanuel. And Matthew's designed this book with an introduction and then a conclusion, and these act like a frame around 5 clear sections right here in the center, each of which concludes with a long block of Jesus' teaching. Now, this design is very intentional and it's amazing. Just watch how this works. Chapters 1 through 3, they set the stage by attaching Jesus' story right onto the storyline of the Old Testament scriptures. So Matthew opens with a genealogy about Jesus that highlights how he is from the messianic line of the son of David, and he's a son of Abraham. That means he's going to bring God's blessing to all of the nations. After that, we get the famous story about Jesus' birth and how all of the events fulfilled the Old Testament prophetic promises, that the nations would come and honor the Messiah, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but even more than that, Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit, his name Emmanuel, all these work together to show that Jesus is no mere human. He is God with us. God become human. So you can see 2 of Matthew's key themes right here in the introduction. He's from the line of David. He's Emmanuel. But Matthew also wants to show how Jesus is a new Moses. So like Moses, Jesus came up out of Egypt. He passed through the waters of baptism, and he entered into the wilderness for 40 days. And then Jesus goes up onto a mountain to deliver his new teaching. So through all of this, Matthew is claiming that Jesus is the promised greater than Moses figure who's going to deliver Israel from slavery. He's going to give them new divine teaching. He's going to save them from their sins and bring about a new covenant relationship between God and his people. This Moses and Jesus parallel also explains why Matthew has structured the center of the book the way that he did. These five main parts highlight Jesus as a teacher. And he's created a parallel. Jesus as a teacher parallels the five books of Moses. Jesus is the new authoritative covenant teacher who's going to fulfill the storyline of the Torah.
So they have a video like this for every single book of the Bible. And it's fascinating just because it brings it to life in a new way and helps you see things you would never have seen and understand it in ways that you might not have before. And I highly recommend watching those if you ever read through your Bible. You watch a video right before you read through a book, and it's amazing how much better you understand it and can learn so much more and grow so much more through it. And the best part is all their videos are free on YouTube, so you can watch them whenever you want and share them and post them, all that kind of stuff. So today I want to leave you with some challenging questions. What if we were to treasure God's word like Jesus does? What if we lived as if our Bibles were the most precious possession we have? What if we were to read, study, memorize, meditate on, and obey it daily? What if we were to discuss what we're reading with our friends and family? How much more would our lives change? How much more would we learn to love God and to know his love? How much more would our thoughts, words, actions reflect God more than this world? God has given us a book of love letters to invite us into a loving relationship with him. And the more I've read scripture, the more I've been able to connect with God and experience his love. Reading about the way Jesus loves others challenges me to love others selflessly. Seeing the disciples take the gospel to the ends of the earth challenges me to be bold with my own faith. My Bible becomes more precious to me every time I read it. And I want to challenge you today to not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.